Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Marang.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Marang.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome in.
Switch me up on the...
I got to keep you on your toes.
To go full Jeff Ross, the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
My Spanish teacher told me that all the time in high school. Like learning Spanish and you say a word wrong and he would just like always yell at you. You're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget that. He also liked to make a ton of like really weird like Nazi Germany references. Like not in a positive way, but in like a... You know, from a language perspective,
like,
thing.
Like maybe a German that may have ended up in Brazil kind of a deal.
Yeah, it was just really, really strange all the
Argentina.
Time. He was on Jeopardy once.
Well, there's Argentina and then there's the boys of Brazil. There's two different versions of them.
He was on Jeopardy once and I don't know if he's still alive. And his eyes were always super bloodshot. And he would always tell us that when he was younger, he crashed his motorcycle and the sparks flew up into his eyeballs. And one day his eyes were so red and burning that he wore sunglasses in class. And we were like, yo, bro, half this class is stoned. Like, we know what's going on here, amigo.
Come on. What are we doing here?
I want to buy some drugs.
Yes, I do.
I was never somebody I've smoked weed like 10 times in my life. It's never something I really enjoyed. But one of the times I did it in high school. I did it right before math class, like as I'm walking in, my buddy's like, And I was like, screw it. Why not? And I go into math class and I'm talking as I walked in the door kind of a deal. And as I sit down, my math teacher's like, Mr. Marang. And I go, and this cloud of smoke comes out.
You've been like storing it in your lungs.
Yeah. It was just like, but it was like the remnants of it all. And I'm sitting like doing the wave, like trying to wave it around, but he's got his back to me and the whole class is busting up laughing.
How does it not just completely reek in there?
Oh, it does.
Ganja.
It does. But he's like, can you solve this problem? And I'm like, and the panic set in so hard. I was just like, oh my God.
Mr. Marang, what do you think you're doing? Learning about history, eating some pizza.
No big deal, whatever.
The old Spicoli there.
It was absolutely brutal. But speaking of Spanish teachers, I had a Spanish teacher, not a bad person. Maybe she was. I don't know. I was a terrible student. I didn't care. But I broke my wrist, and she made me write left-handed Spanish.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm right-handed.
Well, the Spanish alphabet's not too bad. It's all phonetical.
I know, but like I do a lot of things left-handed.
Mm.
But writing, not one of them, dog.
My left hand is pretty rough.
Oh, not only that, you get the drag marks. How do all you lefties do that? You do that weird, like, hand off the page. Like, then again, nobody writes anymore.
My sister is a lefty, and it looks weird.
Like, the way they write, like, the way they hold their hand so you don't drag the ink. You know, I wonder if all the right to left languages, like, were those founded by people that were left-handed? Is that what happened there?
I don't know, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how we have a couple of those.
They say the lefties are the smart ones.
Ah, are they?
Are the artistic brain.
Well, there's a tism there.
Did you just call my sister a tism?
Artism.
Then some fighting words.
Artism, right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Shout out to my sister.
I will say, speaking of Jeopardy and there and what you just brought up, I don't know why, but Jeopardy was on in my house the other night.
I know why, because the TV was on and the channel was on the channel that plays Jeopardy.
But I thought they all moved to stream. Oh, no, it's Celebrity Jeopardy. That's what it was. But
Celebrity Jeopardy's on stream.
That's on stream. That's what it was. But it must have been after the football game the other night.
Oh, that would make sense.
Buddy, I would have won. I would have won. It was one of those ones that lined up, and I was like, ding, 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 ding. It was like one of them was like a geography, mountains or something like that. Another one was.
Did you bet you could throw those football over them mountains?
Yeah,
I was about to say. Don't we all think that we can win Jeopardy when we sit down and play?
Oh no, I, when it comes to useless factoids, I'm really, really good. But here's the thing: if I see the categories and I see poetry. Or like medieval literature, so, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cooked. I'm just not. But if it lines up geography, history, music, like things like that.
Star Wars.
I'll take anal bum cover for 200 points, Alex.
But no, like it was one of those ones where I was like, you know, the $400 ones were. Dumb easy. The $2,000 ones were dumb easy. I'm like, oh, we're cleaning house here. I looked at this poor woman who's got like $1,800 at the end of the second round. And I'm like, I would have crushed you. What are you doing up there?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of that stuff I feel pretty good about. Some of that stuff I think it's all about the buzzer training.
Well, it's
how you do the buzzer.
And you get lucky. Mm-hmm. You get lucky on the topics.
Well, because I think if you press it too early, then you're like already done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like all three of them like waiting. People weren't I was answering questions before they were buzzing in. It was like, oh, this is not their group of questions.
I don't know what my category would be, what my go to. Can I get Bob Gibson in 1968 for 200? Ken,
that's a good one. Now the history. Anytime it goes into history, like that's usually where I'll crush.
Yeah, history's not too bad.
But like I said, like poetry. That one, because it pops up all the time. I'm like,
you ain't read? You don't read good?
I do read good, but I don't.
You don't dabble in some Robert Frost?
I was literally going to use Robert Frost as the example. I'm like, if it's not Robert Frost, I got nothing for
some
you.
John Muir, although he's more of an author than a poet.
But like,
I have friends that used to do trivia all the time, and my buddy always said when it was painters, he goes, it's never Monet. It's always Monet. It's always Monet. It's never Monet.
That's right, because it actually the pronunciation matters.
Well, they're two different guys.
Well, no. I'm talking about like if you get the pronunciation wrong in the answer, you get it wrong.
Well, he was just saying they never give you the softballs of it being Monet.
Yeah.
It's always Manet because you're not going to think about that.
What's the writer? Mamet?
Mamet?
Mamet.
David Mamet?
Mamet. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
David Mamet, one of the great playwrights.
Yeah. See, look at that. See,
I'm a lot of his stuff.
I'm there.
Well, you would have been disqualified because you can't say his name.
Yeah, I said Mamet, not Mamet. It's my bad.
David Mamet.
Yeah.
Isn't he Waiting for Godot? Isn't that what he does? About two dudes sitting at a...
Still?
they're still waiting, dude. About two dudes sitting at a bus stop. It's just about purgatory.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It's just, I think that's David Mamet. Now I'm all questioning myself.
I even got a question right as it pertains to Dante's.
Oh, that's Samuel Beckett. My bad.
I had it right on Dante's Inferno.
That's a rough book.
Yeah. But I was like, I think that the category was like 13th century or 14th century literature. And I was like, what is it? Fear death, all ye who enter here. I was like, I know that one. It was like the one that I knew. And I was like, yes.
My sister's ex-husband, he graduated from Evergreen State up in Olympia.
Hmm.
A very, very heavy, heavy liberal arts college. I believe at the time, I don't know if you still can.
Is it the Oberlin of Washington?
You could, I don't know what that is. You could create your major. And so my sister's ex-husband has a degree in 19th century Russian literature.
I mean, it's a very niche thing.
You're I think he works at a Verizon store.
Oh, okay. I was saying you're probably teaching 19th century Russian literature. It's like if you're.
I think this guy's got a lot of
Archer?
Some of it. I'm familiar with the show.
David Cross is a character that's a recurring character, and he's a one of them. He's an anthropologist, and they're like, the joke is, what are you going to do with that? Teach other anthropology students?
Basically.
It's like he's like, it's a very valuable degree. Like, what, to college students who are trying to learn about anthropology?
Yeah, man, I got a degree in theater, and you know what I got a degree in theater for? To teach kids who want a degree in theater. I'm all about that, man.
Look, man.
Archaeology, you're either Indiana Jones or you're Henry Jones.
Yeah, you're in the
you're either the professor or you're, you know. Field. Yeah, paleontologist, is this Jurassic Park, look, or are you at a college?
And I'm not criticizing people. Like, I have three bachelor's degrees, and I don't use any of them.
I like to think I use my theater degree here.
I have a degree.
I got to pretend I'm happy with you every day.
See, right?
Yeah.
I've got a degree in international studies with a focus on the Middle East and business. Like, and I've got another degree in professional aeronautics, and I've got another degree in global security and intelligence. I can part of my education is knowing how to park a bomb in a 4x4 foot square from 30,000 feet and being able to do the math by hand.
I don't know how to do that.
Do you know how useful that is for me on a daily basis?
Probably not. Why don't you do that on a daily basis?
Well, because they won't let me.
Why not?
Because they're not fun.
Oh, it's their fault?
Yes.
Did they put their son in instead?
Yeah. I was like, come on, man.
Was it that the arrow you took to a knee?
You know, it's one of those things, though. It's like, well, I mean...
Nepotism gotcha.
Yeah, I may not be able to do it with a bomb, but I may be able to, you know, do it with a body.
Look at that.
I love that I can sneak that in there, and you're so locked in.
Brian Rocchio's back. Can't feel the ground ball at second. Mm. What's up, dude?
Mm.
Well, at least he's okay.
So we've lost Harris for the day because the Guardians have just gotten underway.
Yeah.
And this may be the end of their season. Oh.
I pulled out my different hat today.
Yeah, it looked like,
we are on different situations over here. We are not in the same spot. Oh, I don't like that.
Uh-oh.
Eh, that's a tough play. Well, no, maybe if you don't, you know, break your wrist.
That didn't look good.
Oakley, well, we got a show for you today. There's a lot to get to. There's some college football leftovers of some top teams. Something I thought that was interesting, Danny, yesterday you gave kind of your top five teams in college football, and there's a couple teams that were left out, so I'd like to get into why those teams might be left out. So we'll get to that in the 11 o'clock hour. What else do we got? Some NFL stuff in the noon hour, including another Oregon Duck starting this weekend in the NFL, so hang around for that. But we'll start here with said Oregon Ducks after their big win against Penn State. I know I have spoke poetically about Tosh Lapoy coming to play finally, and let's have a little conversation about the future of Will Stein and Tosh Lapoy. Are they at a point where they are now extremely sought after commodities in college football? Plus, we'll get to a little bit of baseball. That's where we are in this first hour. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. Thanks for being with us today. This is Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
1016 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, baby, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. There's also youtube.com/1051. I'm glad to have that back up and running. Apologies to the morning crew for having to deal with that. But we are back and live in action over there. I will do my best to be a professional today. I thought I handled okay. Yes, I thought I handled yesterday okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Look, this is part of fandom, man.
You try not to be distracted. You know, it's like looking around and seeing all the pom poms at State College and trying not to freak out.
Look, nobody ever sees me watching a Blazers game when I'm in the studio. Like how I watch a game in public versus how I watch a game in the TV studio is very different.
Mine are very similar, except for I can't swear.
Yeah, very, very
well,
different.
I can swear. I would just get in trouble.
Yes.
How long does it take to get the dump button back up and running?
Well, it's an 8-second delay.
Well, I know. So, how long does it take to build that 8 seconds again?
I think if I press it once, it does 4 seconds for the dump. But if I have to really hold it, then yeah, it'll use the whole 8 seconds. But I'm not sure how long it takes to rebuild.
I think it's, I want to say it's like 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
No, not that long? No. Okay, maybe it's 4 to 5 minutes?
Yeah, I don't even think it's that long.
Okay.
I wonder why that's the case. Why can't it just...
Well, how do you create a delay? By slowing things down, but we can't start talking like
I know, this. But like it just feels like the dump button should be able... You should be able to just drop the signal. You know what I mean?
Oh, just cut out?
Just cut, like hard cut, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not... Well, because you've already said it, so it has to go back.
I guess, yeah, that's true.
It's like the future thing. Like, yeah, you can't go into the future. True. That's impossible.
I guess I never really thought about that.
I'm very aware of the dump button due to its necessity from time to time. Although it's been years. It's been years.
I'm still, I am like, what, between TV and radio, I'm like, you know, 5,000 days and counting without incident. I'm waiting for that board to reset eventually. But yeah, I've gone a lot.
Well, good on you. You know, the question is, you know, as we see job openings and stuff like that in college football, you see them in the NFL too. It's always kind of like, how exciting are the top coordinators and who can you go find that can be, you know, a Dillingham or somebody that, or even a Dan Lanning for that matter. And look no further than your Oregon Ducks. Reminder, you can catch all Ducks action right here on the Fan Sports Network. Is where Will Stein and Tosh LePoy sit. I think it's no secret that Will Stein is going to be a hot commodity, whether he decides to leave this year or waits another year. I mean, he's got a pretty good gig in Oregon. I think you kind of have the, I don't know, leverage and availability to kind of wait out until you get a really good job. But I'm more curious a little bit on the future of Tosh LePoy. As I said this on Monday, you were at Media Day, Danny. I think it was Monday. Maybe we talked about it in show prep about how I felt that defense had kind of Dan Lanning written all over it, and it very much reeked of him. And maybe I was underselling Tosh LePoy a little too much, but what I saw from him on the sidelines and how I saw Lanning interact with him in that Penn State game gave me a lot of like, hey, dude, you're an idiot. Like, take a peek. Like, Tosh LePoy is really bringing. And LePoy, unlike Will Stein, has a very kind of wild, charismatic football persona, very Dan Lanning-esque, to where Will Stein is kind of more, a quiet, methodical guy trying to, you know, figure out these crazy defenses they might be going up and creating, you know, unique offensive play. So I'm just curious what their future looks like and when that hammer drops.
So
because these guys are going to get opportunities at some
point. Well, here's the thing. Tosh has been, when you talk about the criticisms of Oregon, Lanning, staff, all those things, Tosh has gotten most of it over the last couple of years, because a lot of the failures in those big games have been on the defense. And I think that's
giving up almost 300 yards to Penn State in a Big Ten title game. I mean, you still won the game, but that's a lot of yards.
And it was what, like 200 on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that's, you know, and then you talk about the UW games and you talk about Ohio State in the playoff and like the big moments where they've fallen short, with the, again, the exception of the Georgia game when they first all got there. Like,
we don't count that.
That Georgia team was nuts. And look, I have a duck hater, and I don't even count that one. You just got smashed by a team full of like 30 NFL players. It happens. But you've got to look at it from the point of view of that Lanning has gotten better. He's improved?
Extremely improved. Lanning in that game that we are not talking about, quote unquote, to where Dan is now.
He was a deer in headlights in that game.
To where he is now is, I don't know if any coach has made a jump that fast.
No, I don't think there is. And I think LaPoy has improved drastically. Now they've obviously cycled through the offensive coordinators between Dilley and now totally blanking on his name now, Will Stein. I thought it was interesting. Jordan Rodriguez, she's one of the lead NFL writers for The Athletic. She's covered the Rams, Panthers, a couple other teams. She had a tweet this weekend. Dan Lanning is getting NFL pop this January. Like it or hate it, he is, especially if he's bringing his coordinators.
Oh, like just bring the whole fam bam.
And I was.
I didn't think about that.
And I was like, that's an interesting thought. Like, would Will Stein
skip going to be a head coach in college and just go straight to the NFL, a bunch of young kids together? I mean, for the sake of the argument, I will continue to have this conversation. I don't think Dan's going to the NFL anytime soon. But that thought is very, very fascinating. And how has that ever happened? Has anybody jumped from college to the NFL and taken their whole crew with them?
Whole crew, I don't think so. Certainly some guys, but I would imagine, you know, if you're a guy like Stein and maybe you want to be a head coach, you look at that and go, maybe I stay at Oregon. Maybe I become the head coach at Oregon.
Like, true.
You know what I mean? Like, why not?
True. Well, if Lanning left tomorrow, I think Will Stein would be high on that list.
If you're hiring a firm, I bet you Stein would probably be pretty high on this. Mm-hmm. What's really funny is Jordan ended up like turning off the replies to this because they kind of got out of, a lot of Duck fans got a little out of control, like, how dare you kind of a deal, and they got very protective. A lot of people, the pushback was like, why would Dan want to leave? College is perfect. And I'm like, what do you mean? We've seen coaches in college be like, nah. If you just want to be a football guy, that's what the NFL is for.
Totally. And I think in Dan's specific case, I think he has been very vocal about, you know, the age of his kids and family and the situation from the institution, the backing, the financial power that Oregon has, being at this point, maybe not next year, the years after, but right now, the marquee program on the West Coast. There's a lot of reasons to not leave Oregon.
Sure.
And I think there are probably more reasons for him to stay than to actually leave. If football is your motivation, that's
NFL
different.
Is the path.
That's different. I mean, we talk about that with Lincoln Riley. We talk about that, you know, Kiffin made his time in the NFL. And, you know, could Dabo make the jump? We all kill, you know, Saban for his short time in Miami, which I don't kill him for because I think that's a lot of organizational issues there. He wanted Breeze.
Patino in
college basketball and the Celtics was rough. You know, Calipari is not built for the NBA.
So it's interesting.
Kay is not built for the NBA.
Like, when we talk about Stein and LaPoy, do you see LaPoy as a head coach? I don't. I look at him like a Monty Kiffin, like a guy that's just, I'm going to be a defensive coordinator lifer kind of guy.
Penn State was the first time I looked at Tosh LaPoy and said, you can be a head coach. Because he had juice on the sideline. Yeah, and I think in college,
the Ron Rivera of it all.
Yeah, I think in college football, you're seeing right now, like,
Juice matters
a lot, especially when you're younger. I think juice works against guys like Brian Kelly and Dabo Swinney.
Because it's a different kind of juice that they're faking it.
Yeah, it's like an old man juice that doesn't really work.
It's Brian Kelly with a Cajun accent.
Yeah, but take Mike Norvell for instance. He's probably in the middle of Dan Lanning and Dabo, age-wise. I don't know exactly how old he is. I know
he's got juice.
I know he's a silver fox. That's a good-looking man. And he's got juice, and that juice feels authentic. And that's why I kind of, you know, I don't know if I need to call it an apology. I don't know if I was ever super, super critical of Tosh LaPoy. But that's kind of where I am with him now. And I think not only was it how that defense played against a top five team in the nation on the road in a crazy environment, but also just a guy that was on the sidelines kind of beating his chest and getting his guys going and Lanning looking to him and say, dial something up. I need you right here. Yeah. Him being like, let's go. Let's do that. I was very impressed with him over the weekend. And I'm curious what his future holds.
No, I am too. And you know, that game, we haven't had a chance to talk about that game. You want to talk about that game?
Sure.
I haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Sure, hit me.
So, going into the game, I picked the Ducks. Mm. To be honest, I was disappointed in Will Stein and Dante Moore in the first half.
Yeah, I said that on Monday with Joe. I thought play calling, I wasn't disappointed at Dante at all. I thought play calling from Will Stein was a little conservative. I loved that everything was four down territory. I mean, I loved that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the aggression.
Yeah, and Lanning is basically saying, I trust my defense. Mm-hmm. That and field advantage helps,
also,
too.
I'm not worried about that offense.
I'm not kicking from the 45 or the 50.
Yeah, but not just that. You're not worried about the Penn State offense, which kind of proved to be true for most of the game. But
I felt Stein was conservative.
And I thought Dante was rattled. And that was the question I had going into that game, was how is he going to handle the atmosphere of the whiteout? That's his first real challenge.
And I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh, just in the first half.
I know. I know you said first half, and I disagree.
I thought he had opportunities that he didn't take. Jake Browning-esque. Made a completion, but there were bigger plays to be had. And maybe that's part of the game plan, is, hey, let's play this thing tight for the first half.
I think that might have been the message to mm-hmm. Dante. I don't know if that translates to rattled.
I thought a couple of times he did look, and again, not bad, but just like, I think it proved out to be very true. The gap between Dante and Aller is a canyon.
It's giant.
It's a canyon.
It's giant. And I think the reason some of us kind of feel dumb come Monday, you know, after that game is, you know, Aller, the preseason hype. And Dante, look, we talk about it a lot here because we're local and we have that local angle, you know, and we see it a lot more and we have a little more insight into how Lanning runs his program and how the quarterback competition was during the offseason and all that kind of stuff. But I think the national media was very, very shocked at how calm he looked, and I just was not.
When he got up there you go. Go ahead and celebrate. Gardo's home run.
Ding, Valera.
Ding, ding, on the board.
Bumps his average up from 162 to 168. Let's go, bro.
But Dante Moore in the second half was a different beast.
Dante Moore in the second half looked like the best quarterback in the nation to me.
He was very, very, very good. I thought,
he started to run a little bit when he needed to. Again, we're way on this. Like, don't just be a runner.
No.
Run when it's time.
And that was part of it. You know, he got down early a couple of times when I was like, I know you're trying to preserve yourself and not get hit, but you probably needed to stay up and fight for that a little bit. And while I have all the criticisms of the world of Aller, that dude in the fourth quarter put it on his back.
Well,
and that was impressive as hell until he crapped his pants.
Yeah, I think what I've the analogy I've been trying to like figure out the best way to say it. It's a caged animal versus scared animal.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're in that spot, do you react scared or do you react ravenous?
Yeah.
And there were moments where Aller was like, it's desperation. Does your desperation lead you to crumble or does your desperation lead you to mm-hmm. get the F up and start doing something.
I mean,
and Aller had that for a moment until he did what we all expected.
Honestly, he had it for two drives and then going into overtime. I mean, he had the juice, man.
It's 17-3 and the camera goes right to Dan Lanning. He looks to his sideline. He goes, it's over.
And I was like.
And I thought it was too. And I argue that unnecessary roughness call lets Penn State back in that game. Yep. Otherwise, final score might be 24-3.
And, you know, Aller, he gets the credit, but he's also, you know, the goat in all of this, and that he kind of hangs it and does what he's always done. But you also have to credit both Stein and LaPoy. You know, the throw from Dante with Denai Dennis Sutton running down his throat unblocked to Gary Bryan. I mean, that's a hell of a play.
That
and
was it.
You hadn't heard
that is a potential Heisman moment.
God.
I know you hate to hear that, but in a year outside of Mendoza's one game,
put
where
up
stat
some
lines,
numbers in some games
where
man.
Stat lines aren't really existing. You know, I know Maiva has had some good stats and Mendoza has good stats, but that's a moment.
It's,
and the committee loves moments.
We'll get down. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. but I hadn't heard Thieneman's name really all game. And then, just what a play.
Thanks, amigo.
What a play.
What a disappointing way to end that game. So much juice, as we keep using the phrase today, you know, from whether it's fans or fans chanting things towards their own team and just the nature of double overtime. But it's like, wait, it wasn't a missed field goal? It wasn't a fourth down and go? It's over?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and,
over.
And, I mean, massive credit to Oregon's offensive line. Denai Dennis Sutton ends up with seven tackles, three solo, but No pressures, no sacks, no quarterback hits.
That might be the best complete trench in all of football.
It's up
offense
there,
and defense.
Like, they got it done. And Bryce Betcher continues to be an absolute tackling machine.
Right, dude, just everywhere. He's just in every play.
For a dude to just be like just a, you know, a local kid that turns into like, I'll go full Luke Kuechly. Who was, I can never remember his name, the Boston College linebacker that got cancer. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
He was yes, I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
He reminds me of him where he's an absolute psychopath that just tackles everything and everyone. And it's fun as hell to watch him play, man. He is just, he's not Ray Lewis. He's
Mark
not
Herzlich.
Herzlich. He reminds me of Herzlich, man, where he's just, it's kind of Cam Scataboo on defense, where he's just.
Just a guy.
He's a walking case of CTE. Like he's just wanting to hand it out. Everybody can catch these hands.
Yeah.
And he just throws his, like, I love Lanning's quote. I think it was last week in the coach's show where he mentioned something like, we finally got Bryce to stop tackling the wrong guys because he was hitting everybody in practice, even guys he's not supposed to hit. And you can see it translate. And like this Oregon team is very good. Like I said, if I had my poll, I'd have Oregon number two in the country. Miami would be number one, mm-hmm. but Oregon would be right there. And that was a hell of a performance. I think that ultimately they should have won this game in regulation. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm squinting and finding a thing like to nit to pick, you should have handled this.
It's hard to ask a defense to play that well for that long. It just
it is.
It is. Against a team that good.
But also, Penn State's offense and Drew Aller, you had him under control and then you didn't.
Yeah.
So, but again, that's the only nit that I'm picking there. It was a hell of a game from Oregon.
Dante looked like an NFL QB leading an NFL team. Drew looked like a college QB leading a college team from the text line. I find that fascinating thought.
No, that's
to think about.
Especially in the second half.
We'll put a pin in this as Tyson Alger will join us tomorrow. We had some scheduling conflicts, so he'll be with us tomorrow at 10:30. We'll get his thoughts on the game going into the bye week and maybe a little peekaboo ahead to the Indiana game, which is now all of a sudden huge. Baseball playoffs were in full force yesterday, and if you're a starting pitcher, baby, you came to play, and that's all that matters. We'll get to that next, but first, there's Rust with Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the second, one out. Cleveland's up 1-0 over Detroit. We'll keep you updated on that game throughout the day. And Pods, Cubs will play at noon. We'll keep you updated on that. Sneaky, there's also a huge game in the sports world happening in Europa today. Champions League is Barcelona hosting PSG. And I have no bandwidth to watch that game today. I'm like, sorry, guys. I know this is a great Champions League game, but like, I am baseball.
I don't care
about baseball. I know. I'm just trolling Russ over there. Yeah. Playoffs start yesterday. Tigers win, Cubs win, Red Sox win, and Dodgers win.
Was there a single surprise?
I think... with how some of these games went down, yes.
The Yankees, bases loaded, no outs.
I think you expect Crochet, and I want to get to starters here. I think you expect Crochet to pitch really, really well. I don't know if you expect him. Alex Cora asked him before, he was talking to Alex Cora before the game, and Alex Cora goes, I need you to go out there and pitch, and I'm only going to go to the bullpen once, maybe twice. And Crochet goes, no, once for Chappie. And it's like, dude, the gusto, the marbles to say stuff like that.
That's what I want out of that's what I want out of my ace, man.
Crochet played for the White Sox, so I don't love him. And Alex Cora is a cheater, and we all hate him. And, and you know, I don't mean to bash on Boss Man Cooley's Red Sox over here, but
his Red Sox,
yeah. Mm. but yesterday, I think if you're a Yankee fan and you get that performance from Max Fried, I think you feel really good.
Yeah.
Even though Crochet's on the other side of the mound, I like the bats for the Yankees a little bit
more.
And you
had a chance.
Especially in a damage situation. But look, Scooble was amazing.
I mean, that was...
Scooble was incredible. Crochet was incredible. Even Gavin Williams in a loss without some defensive errors, he looked really good yesterday. Look, I thought Nick Pivetta for the Padres looked good until he threw two bad pitches in a row. Not in a row, but batters in a row and gave up two.
He had nine strikeouts through five.
Yeah, and Matt Boyd, look, counsel said, you go out there and get me into the fifth. We'll turn it over to our bullpen and we feel good. And that's what he did. And Blake Snell looked like a man that was mad at the world in the night game. I did not have Hunter Green looking bad on my bingo sheet, but that's what happens when Teoscar. It's never the big guys. Shohei hits a leadoff, and you're like, okay, well, that's Shohei doing Shohei things. At least nobody's on base.
Yeah, but there's also seven other guys in that lineup.
Like, and you get to Teoscar, and there's dudes on base, and it's like, son of a bitch.
It's tough.
It's really tough, but this is what playoff baseball is about, and the starters coming to play yesterday was the best part about it. It really is, because that's the chess matchup. The Red Sox went to the bullpen once. Like, that's amazing.
I mean, you know...
that's so good.
The Cubs, they turned over early in the game, and, you know, Placencia ends up getting the win on 1 2/3 in the save for Keller, but Tatis, Arias, Machado, 0-10.
Their run yesterday...
I'm sorry, 0-11.
Their run in that game yesterday was the first run they've scored in 33 postseason innings.
Come on, dads.
I don't get it.
Come on, dads.
I don't get it. But like I said, Matt Boyd pitched really well for five innings.
Yeah.
He didn't go through all five, but he pitched really well. And that bullpen gave up, I think, one hit the rest of the game, or no hits. I'd have to go back and look at it. Bullpens mean a lot. You know, I'm seeing this on the YouTube chat. Ugh, our bullpen screwed it all up. Fried was great, but yeah, Crochet pitched really good. Like, that defense or that bullpen, and that's what I was talking with Boss Man Cooley about, you know, honestly, his Yankees. He's a Yankee fan. I just like to give him S. It's an old hot corner gag.
Yeah, it's one.
Even from his sales days. That I think if you were Boston and you're Alex Cora and you're looking at Crochet as well as he's pitching, once Fried comes out of that game, and I know it's easy for national media, oh, should he let Fried in? Dude, I hate that argument so much. As much as I don't like Boone, when you see it, you see it. When it's time to go, it's time to go. That Yankee bullpen is going to be the death of them. And then on top of that, you add bases loaded, no outs in the ninth. That is what we call a noble tiger when you score zero runs. I got asked, what was worse, the Yankees having bases loaded in the ninth or Hosey screwing up that play at home? It's the Yankees, man. You got three chances, no outs, and you got dudes coming to the plate. That's a tough look.
That's a tough Hosey's look. Air is tough. Like, the singular air is tough, especially with where they were. And it's so rare to get a guy in a rundown. Like, the rarity of it is harder, but the Yankees getting three on with no out and having Stanton up is, you can say what you want about Stanton. I know what he's been this year, but we also know what he's capable of.
Right, right. And if you want to call me a homer for the statement I'm going to make, you can, but Hosey's out because the hit and run was on. And that ball went right back to the pitcher. That's how he's so far down the line. If that ball goes to the second baseman, first baseman,
it goes
baseman,
really anywhere else.
Anywhere in the infield, Hosey scores, and it's a tie ball game. I think it's just a little bit unfortunate, but look, you can sometimes manufacture your own luck, and you can sometimes manufacture your own bad luck. You score errors, like Detroit scoring runs on errors. You're not playing well defensively.
You did say it before the game. If the Tigers get two runs early in the game, this is probably over. Mm-hmm. And that's what it ended up being. But hey, look, your Guardians are up 1-0 right now.
We're up 1-0 now. Yeah. Today's going to be a whole different situation, though, in starting pitching. Today is going to be all over the board. Obviously, I want all these games to go further just because I love more baseball. And the DL, the division series, doesn't start till Saturday, no matter what happens. It's Casey Mize, Tanner Bibee. Casey Mize gave up a dinger, almost another one to Kyle Manzardo. Bibee's looked sharp so far. Dylan Cease is in for the Padres today. He's their big ticket guy. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him have a great game. Cubs look like they're throwing a bullpen game with Kittredge starting. But I heard this morning on MLB radio that Shota Imanaga could come in.
Some breaking baseball news. Guess who's in line to be the new manager of the Angels?
Who's in line?
Who is my favorite, most important player of my franchise's history of the modern era?
Oh, I saw yesterday the machine? His name in here.
AP.
The machine?
AP. Albert Pujols was in line to be the manager of the Los Angeles Angels.
Huh. That's part of my next segment here.
There you go.
I'm going to need to sit on that for a second.
Yeah.
There are rumors that Shota Imanaga may come in for the Cubs for long work today. Rodon's been good for the Yankees. I expect him to be great, but boy, I don't know how you feel turning it over to that bullpen. And Littell's been a good story this year. He was a good deadline acquisition, but give me Yamamoto all day. Zach on the YouTube chat, Boone manages like he's scared of everything and he's so tight. And boy, there is no more true statement than that. I hate the way Boone manages. I absolutely hate it. He manages like he doesn't want to get fired.
Tough.
And that's going to get you fired.
Yeah.
But let's get into that. Job openings in Major League Baseball. Yep. A lot of them are coming around. Some big names. Adios out of jobs. And a big name may be coming into a new job.
Yeah.
We'll go there next. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll dive into some college football. We'll get back into that. As there's two teams, two big brands that I got some questions for. But I'm not quite sure why we live in that world. Sorry, that's me again during the commercial break. That was on me. That one's on me. So we'll get into some of those. I got questions about the number one team in the nation. You had your top five yesterday. Mm-hmm. And someone texted in on the fan text line, 503-864-6326. You did not have Ohio State in that top five, and I think that needs a discussion. Mm-hmm. Because, brother, as you like to say, brother, I'm there with you.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in the 11 o'clock hour, plus web gems. Take a peek at Seattle this weekend and how nuts that'll be. And a little conversation about quarterback play in the NFL. But we'll stay here in baseball real quick, as we'll kind of just shore up our baseball chatter for the day, as today is game two of wild cards throughout the league. Games on all day, and if you want to catch radio calls, which are some of my favorites, they'll be all over on 910 throughout the day as well on our sister station. But a lot of jobs have opened up in Major League Baseball. The Twins have parted ways with Rocco Baldelli. The Orioles fired Brandon Hyde earlier this year. The Angels, Ron Washington is not returning. Bruce Bochy and the Rangers have parted ways. The Giants let go of Bob Melvin, which was kind of the more head-scratcher for me. But Black was relieved of duty for Colorado. Brian Snitker out in Atlanta. And so I kind of started looking around. Washington's looking for a coach as well. I started kind of looking around at this and wondering what's the best job. And I think in my brains, I mean, you have to think about teams that are built for success that are just kind of not there yet. To say no to that Braves lineup would be really difficult for me.
Good God.
Would be really difficult for me. I mean, Ozzy's been really, really tough, so you got to figure that out.
Your full list. Braves, O's, Rockies, Angels, Twins, Giants, Rangers, Nats.
Nice.
That's your full list.
The Brian Snitker one's interesting to me. Interesting to me, and it must be a day-to-day managing thing. The guy's old, so.
Real quick, you mentioned the Melvin one. He got relieved. His option for 2026 was picked up in July.
He's
literally getting paid to go away.
I know. I've got some Giants buddies that I was talking to. I should have asked Dirt about this because I know he's a big Giants fan. I should have asked Brandon about Snitker, too. It's weird. I had some friends looking at me, and they were like, you know, well, Buster Posey's in charge now. And there must have been some kind of riff there, or it's the only thing I can think of. So I'm starting to rack my brain, like, what would Bob Melvin, because I find Bob Melvin to be one of the better managers in baseball, even though he's more old school compared to a lot of these young guys in the league, that I thought, you know, what's the managerial difference between, or, you know, the organizational difference between him and Buster Posey? Because it can't be like, I'm old school and I play baseball this way and we do small ball and manufacture runs and like anti-analytics. Bob Melvin was in Oakland forever. You have to be a part of analytics if you're in Oakland. So I'm not sure what happened there. It's a really strange thing. I've thought about this since you mentioned in the break. If Pujols is the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, I'll tell you what, I don't like it.
I don't either.
I don't like it. I don't know where Pujols is in terms of his managerial career. I think he's a really smart baseball guy. When I see him on TV, he's he's a really good color analyst. He's not, he doesn't have like the best TV voice.
He doesn't have
persona.
A TV presence.
Yeah, presence. Yes. But that doesn't necessarily matter in Major League Baseball. If you know ball, you know ball. I just worry that this is a bad Artie Moreno desperation move for a team that showed signs of life, at least offensively. They need pitching like nobody's business, but showed some signs of life offensively. Taylor Ward had a career year. Trout played more games this year than he has in 5 years or something like that. So I don't like it.
It's kind of
don't like it, especially when guys like Bob Melvin are available.
Right. But it's kind of funny. You look at the top candidates right now. So many of these guys are like utility players. It's the, you know, not necessarily utility, but like the super smart players. It's the
Craig Council in Chicago.
Great. Say, you know, Council, Skip Schumacher, David Ross, Mark DeRosa, Ryan Flaherty. It's like, what do these guys all have in common? What position did they play? You know, it's like
the rumor is Schumacher's going to get the Rangers job.
Yeah. He's been, an analyst for them, I think. What capacity? He was a senior advisor. That's what it was.
And on the text line, 503-864-6326, I don't know how true this is, but Bruce Bochy might come back to San Francisco.
I wonder how much that led to Melvin being dismissed. Because
if that's real, Posey says, Melvin, you out. I'm going to take my guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and again, Boch is a hell of a manager, but also, is that maybe hitting the nostalgia button a little too hard?
Maybe. I think
let's run it back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think
I get
how,
it, but
I think with how well Robbie Ray and Logan Webb pitched this year, and you know, Matt Chapman's been a really great addition. You spent a ton of money on Willy Adames, and you're looking to spend more. You know, Jung Hoo Lee in the outfield had a better season. That there's talent there. Why aren't we winning? Especially when your best two starting pitchers, they blew up the bullpen at the trade deadline and we're still really good afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's a Bob Melvin thing. So I wonder if that's it. Is this just like, maybe we do need nostalgia. Maybe it's the one time the nostalgia button is only nostalgia.
It's not
because
always,
he's there.
It's not always a bad button to push, but I'm always leery of it.
If Bochy wants to manage, he's the best candidate on the market.
Yeah.
He's got 4 World Series rings. He's the best on the market. And if you, sometimes people look at that, they're like, hey, what we got going here is totally fine, but you out because I want that guy.
Look, it's like, you know, Dusty Baker. Like, if Dusty Baker's on the market kind of a deal, like,
yeah, you go grab him.
You go grab Dusty. Like, do you want to win? It's like Tito. Francona, it's like, Tito's available? Yeah, dog.
Nobody knew he was available. Cincinnati just went to his golf course in Arizona and was like, how do you feel like managing the Reds? He was like, well, come over to my house. My wife will cook dinner. We'll talk about it
What's
there.
What's his name? Longtime manager for the Rays.
Joe Madden.
Yeah, Madden. Madden's available? Go get him.
Yeah, why not?
You know what I mean? Like, there's something about baseball lifers that are like dudes that have been winners for so long. Like, do you want competency in your organization? Go get him. And that's kind of what I want. To me, like the Braves job is like Orioles. Oh, that job to me is the job.
I have a PJ landing in San Francisco right now to pick up Bob Melvin and come to Baltimore.
You know what I mean? Like
right now.
Yes, you know, Adley is where he's at, and you know what they're going to do with Basulo, whether he's going to catch or they're going to put him at first base or they're going to deal Adley. And
but the Rutch thing is the Rutch question is big in Baltimore, but also, what are you going to do in the pitching world?
Yes.
And a guy like Melvin can maybe figure that out for you.
Well, not only that, I mean, you had Bautista get injured, so you're kind of like, you know, he should be back. You just kind of look at that.
Wow.
Which timeline are they going to go with? Which group of guys are they going to go with?
I mean, they're going with Jackson. That's all I know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
all I know is they're going with Jackson.
You know, you know, whether it be moving on from Adley and bringing Basulo up, like, and leaning into that, Kirstad, like, you just kind of go down the list of the guys that they have, like, which version of that. And I think if you look at that team, to me, if you're a manager, that's outside of the Braves because of just how much they have. The O's, that's the job that I'm like.
It's a little bit like the Braves. It's yeah, an embarrassment it's like, of riches there's that a, just there's underperformed.
And if it doesn't work, it's probably a you problem.
All right, we'll get into a loaded second hour. We'll slide over into some college football. It's a couple programs. Also, speaking of Mike Norvell, we'll get to him as well, as they have a huge game this weekend and what's going on over there. So hang out with us. Loaded second hour, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.